welcome everybody. This is sort of exciting. We have a lot of old faces have shown up, and we have some new faces, and I'm going to have to wing it this morning. There's a couple of things I want to say before I give my talk. One of the things about maintaining a Zendo and the practices in the Zendo is that everybody does the same thing. And the reason for that isn't because it's military school. It's because if everybody does the same thing in a uniform way, it's less distracting to the mind. It helps pay attention to why we're here, which is to just sit. So when we're doing Kin Hin, when the bell rings and then I stand up and everybody will stand up, what we do is we stand up in Gassho, our hands like this. And then Bill, who usually leads Kin Hin, has the blocks and he'll clap, right? So everybody bows. And we all turn in the appropriate direction. But you keep your hands in Gassho like this. So if I was here, I would be like this. And then everybody leaves the Zendo in Gassho. And then we line up when everybody is up. And then Bill will clap again. And then we Gassho one more time. And then we make a fist with our left hand. And you take your other hand and you just place it gently over. And we all walk like this. And then we walk slowly first for a lap or two. And then there's another clap. Bill will stop, and there's another clap. You don't go back up to Gassho. You just simply do a little bow like that and continue walking at a quicker pace. And then we continue walking, and then the signal to come back into the Zendo is another clap. And that's when we go back to Gassho. Okay? It's okay if you forget it, but just it helps everybody to focus and to be concentrated on what we're doing if we're all doing the same thing. Because I notice that when I'm walking out, and oh, that person's like this, and that person, you know, and I can already, you know, the activity starts. And it's helpful if we all just do it the same way. So it's not scolding or anything. It's just a way of reminding everybody how it's done, and for people who are here for the first time, how it's done. So anyway, welcome to everybody. It's nice to have a full house. It's exciting. It's good to sit together with so many people. It's a lot of good energy. So I'm glad to have everybody here. So a few brief words this morning. Earlier we did what's called the Gatha of Repentance. And the way that we does it, there's a number of versions of it. But the one that we use goes, all the evil karma ever created by me of old, on account of my beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance, born of my conduct, speech, and thought, I repent of it now. I've always had an affinity for this gatha because chanting it makes me feel like I can get a second chance, even if I've been a total shithead. You know, that there is some sort of forgiveness that we are allowed to fall on our face no matter how dedicated to the practice that we are. And there's also an opportunity to make right whatever wrong I have caused. And so in this regard, I Googled the word repentance. And there's a variety of definitions, but one definition of repentance is, it's the activity of reviewing one's actions and feeling contrition or regret for past wrongs. And further, you know, it involves a commitment, I think, to personal change. And from a Zen perspective, to living a life that's grounded in non-separation. And regarding our practice, our Zen practice, I think that no matter how deep or complete our insight is, or how many years we have been enlightened, we are nevertheless still capable of creating harm, creating evil karma. And this usually occurs because we act from a place of separation, that we fall back into that place where we lose connection of the oneness of everything. So for these reasons, I see repentance as a vital and never-ending process. So the Gatha of Repentance is really about living in the world and taking responsibility when we do not act with an enlightened mind. And from the perspective of an enlightened mind, the universe is one body. And we can use our own, literally our own body, as an analogy to understand this. When we stub our toe, we don't think, oh, that's my toe down there. And it's in pain, I better do something. and then we reach down and rub our foot. It doesn't work like that. That's not functioning from one body. From functioning from one body, there's no thinking about hand and foot, about a pain down there. There's just a direct response. The hand reaches down to the hurt toe and begins to rub it. There is no separation between me and my foot. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about no separation. There is the simple, direct action arising out of the experience. And this is the experience. This simple, direct action is the experience of one body. It's functioning as one body, even though it's made up of many parts. Likewise, if we help someone who has fallen, even if we don't know them, even if they're not from our town, we are expressing the realization of the universe as one body. We don't decide, well, let's see, they're not from our town, and I don't really know them, maybe somebody else. If you're functioning from one body, you just act. You help them up. You see if they're okay. And that's living life from a place of non-separation. These are examples of how to live in the world from a place of non-separation. Everything, everyone, is us, and we are everything. And even if we sit with great commitment to live out this insight in our daily lives, we can still make mistakes. We can act selfishly. We can fall into separation. We may lose our temper and say mean and angry words to someone. This may have happened because we have lost the sense of connection to those around us, or we were not being mindful, or we were just plain tired. Repentance would be vowing to ourselves to review our commitment to live more consciously and less carelessly, and trying to repair any damage our words or actions may have caused. We may also discover that we are not fully cooked emotionally and or psychologically, even if we are developed very deeply spiritually. We may have unresolved relational issues that cause us to be hurtful or neglectful of others, in spite of our insights. The practice of Zen is not just about realizing our true nature, realizing the essential oneness of all things. That's just the first step. Let me say that again. Realization is just the first step. The next step, or the next thousand steps, is how to live this realization out in our daily lives, day by day, moment by moment. The process of doing this is extremely challenging, and so we should be prepared to have success, and also encounter times when we fall short. One of the significant purposes of repentance is to acknowledge our humanity and take responsibility when we do fall short. Over and over again, we vow to do better and vow to heal those parts of ourselves that cause us to fall short. This is a process within ourselves that should be done with love and patience. I'd like to just end with a Thich Nhat version of the Gatha of Repentance, which reads, "All wrongdoing arises from mind. When the mind is purified, what trace of wrongdoing is left? After repentance, my heart is light like the white clouds that have floated over the ancient forest in freedom." Thank you.